Right. In this message, we've been studying on the inner witness. We've taken several facets. Of course, we began in this facet concerning church government. And the Holy Ghost instructed me to return somewhat this morning. Now, looking at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, where he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And if there's any area the church is ignorant in, of course it is concerning spiritual gifts. And we know that Paul, the teacher that he is, wouldn't make a statement like this. That, of course, the information isn't available to eradicate this kind of ignorance. In fact, Paul was so distinct that he taught on this specific message on church government in these three places, which was Romans, the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, and of course, Ephesians 4, where he ascended on high. And it wasn't until I was lost in meditation and praying the mysteries up before the Father on all three accounts, pouring over and over for years, that what he wanted me to know began to materialize. Now, at first I thought something was wrong with me. When I first moved to Tulsa some 9 years ago, it was with the fullest intention to base my ministry out of Grace Fellowship and, of course, evangelize the world. It's something about being indoctrinated by God, or to receive not only the grace that separates you to your office, but the measure of faith that is activated in your life at that time to fulfill that office. Because it seems an absolute impossibility to escape that measure of faith that works and works and works on the office of the grace call that He is perpetuating in your life. So for a long time, I thought something was wrong with me. You know, something was wrong with me when the Holy Spirit would begin to pull me away. I sought Him for years over revival and the cost of it. He began to pull me away with these words. He says, "I can only instill so much into the people that I want you to instill into them by having them part-time." And of course, it was out of these statements that the prayer center, family, as a church, she has been born. I thought something was wrong with me. Then I found out that the vision He gave me from this meditations and these mysteries, beginning to understand church government and the separation of my call, just simply would not fit in their vision. It wasn't that they are doing anything wrong, though that I was doing anything wrong. Well, now I'm beginning to understand it more and more and more. And notice very closely. He said, concerning these spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant. Now, as the faith moved, they taught us church government one certain way. Now, in this, he lists 9 gifts of the Spirit, but he lists more than that. When he said, concerning spiritual gifts, no ignorance, he's talking about the function of the entire gifts and operations in the body of Christ. He's talking about the 9 gifts as Pentecostal people were so familiar with, that empower the 5 ministerial offices we're so familiar with. And these 9 gifts empowering and qualifying these 5 offices enveloped in 8 operations that we're becoming familiar with. So when he said, concerning these gifts, I would not have you ignorant. First thing, it took me a while to realize that even the 9 gifts of the Spirit are in divine order. Of course, the first being the word of wisdom, then word of knowledge and faith. And just as first he placed apostles, and then second prophets, and thirdly teachers, just as the offices and operations are in divine order, so are the 9 gifts of the Spirit. and the top being word of wisdom. Now, I could never understand certain things like why gifts of healings had priority over workings of miracles, even though workings of miracles was a more spectacular gift. And I couldn't understand that until the love of God began to kick in enough in the operation that He gave me to begin to understand God's love for people. The gifts of healings just doesn't include the healing of your physical body. It also reaches down on the inside and heals the traumas and the hurts and the problems that we run into. I mean, that gift extends with power to heal us on the inside of hurts and things. Even sometimes those things that keep us from receiving our miracles in our physical body. Well, now that I understand that, I understand why gifts of healings has a priority over workings of miracles. I understand why word of wisdom would be numbered one. Because in God's government, you'll see wisdom operating around mature and established ministries, particularly those that are in charge of entire operations, such as Lester Sumrall. If this wisdom that's operating in him, he can arrest, turn, organize. He can see things in the Spirit. He understands things. And he runs his church government accordingly. See? But most predominantly, that the wisdom that operates not only in wisdom and words of knowledge for people under the anointing of the power, but this wisdom also operates in leadership as a gift. And primarily is designed to match the needs with ministry. The biggest mistake preachers can make is being the one-man show. Wisdom matches needs with ministries. And as we unfold this, we'll get into why. Now go on down in 12 just a little bit. In fact, to the 23rd verse that says, "And those are members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And on our uncomely parts," he says, "more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, has given more abundant honor to the part which is lacked." You say, "Well, Brother Roberson, why won't your vision?" I'll tell you. I guess the one that first started jerking the slack out of me was my wife. You know, and I don't mind telling you, coming from the background that I came from, I guess I was a habitual liar when I was a teenager and a habitual liar when I was in the Navy. And I wanted to become something that people would like. You know, so I'd lie to be accepted. And then all of a sudden, when God began to use me, a certain amount of exaltation came with it. Found myself walking out on the platform preaching next to men and women of God that I'd have paid $100 just to hold their sweaty coat. All of a sudden, I wasn't just being accepted. I was being revered. I was being honored. Going from intimidation to inferiority, kind of, to being honored and revered and picked up, sometimes even in Rolls Royces, and ushered to meetings by doctors. And I'll tell you what, you got to have something from God not to have that stuff get to you. And it did start getting to me, and who will notice first but your wife? I remember when she first brought my attention to it to any degree was in an elevator. I had just been with a bunch of them, you know. When I'd get up to take an offering or to preach a little exhort, they'd all run off and fellowship. You know, and so when I'd get done, they'd come back and take the service. And it irritated me. So I got in the elevator with my wife, and a room full of somebody says, "Boy, that was sure good exhortation you gave. I wish you'd say more. Some other guys ought to hear this." And I said, yeah, they don't hang around long enough to hear what I got to say. You know, that old self-exaltation, boisterous kind of thing. Anyway, I got corrected. Well, the way the faith people begin to break it down. In Ephesians 4, he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, prophets, of course teachers, preachers, and evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the maturing of the saints. And so they categorized us in a different category. In other words, I'm special because I am a gift that was given to you, and you do the work of the ministry. And I was given to you to do the work of the ministry and for the edification of the saints. So in the teaching, we were categorized in another category than the sheep. We were taught that we were something special. You see, the more I got into the government of God, the more backwards I found this was. The way the whole system is supposed to be set up from the mighty apostle all the way down, you know, to the groups of edification of the saints, to that eighth operation, divers tongues. The more, he says, the greatest among you, he said, will be servant of all. He says, the more abundant honor should be bestowed upon the more comely part. That the way the whole system is supposed to be set up from the mighty apostle all the way down to the little sheep who just stumbled into a prayer meeting with a born-again spirit and a boatload of problems. The whole system is supposed to be designed from the mighty apostle all the way down to that little believer to establish his feet on the rock and minister to him at any cost. So the wisdom in the ministry is supposed to be to match the needs in the ministry, the needs with the ministry in the local body. Now, I said this before and I'm going to say it again. I've got the whip out and whipped you continually back in prayer. And I'll tell you why. And it'll become more and more evident as we go on. I wanted you to come to a place in your spirit upon that foundational rock that if quite a lot of pressure is poured out on you, see, you can take it. You can take the pressure. Because in this ministry of matching needs with ministry, if I become the one-man show, then eventually, because you have received a measure of faith, and because from God Himself you've received grace to fulfill a specific office in the body, because you have that faith and because you have that grace, if I become a one-man show, it doesn't matter how good a teacher I am. Does not matter how good a preacher I am. You're going to sit there under the finest filet mignon in the world, under any preacher in the world, and you're going to eventually become discontent, because your perfecting and your maturing cannot come to fruition. Cannot. Until you yourself are flowing by that faith through your grace and taking your rightful position in the body of Christ as an able minister called to fulfill the function that you've been separated to fulfill by Jesus Christ. See? I don't care how good I am or any other teacher in the world. You'll become discontent because maturity is impossible. Fullness of the statutes of Jesus Christ is impossible until He can stand up in you and become from the foundations of the world what He's designed to become in you. you will come to a place to where you would rather eat hot dogs. Hot dogs. If you're the one that gets to fix them. Doesn't matter, filet mignon.
Brother Robertson fed us another steak, didn't you?
Yeah, then you dismissed the service. You would rather eat a hot dog that you get to fix with your own two hands than filet mignon that I would feed you. Because my filet mignon won't satisfy you. But your hot dog will. Because it was your faith and it was your grace that cooked the hot dog.
So
we'll sit in churches and our heads will get fat. And we'll sit there and sit there. And pretty soon they're doing everything to keep us. Juggling sheep. Building bigger churches that look like little cities. Putting swimming pools in them. Racket courts. Everything. And it's like getting a new car. Boy, when you get a new car and you get in and get to smell the upholstery, I get high on it. It's wonderful. It's like getting a swimming pool for your house. It's wonderful. And you can run on the excitement for a while. But after a while, when the excitement wears down, you're left with what you had before they added another foundation to the flesh. With discontentment. Until either else, you kill the discontentment and you sit there. You just sit there. And listen. And your interests are other places. Can't hardly wait to get out of church because I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do that. Because after a while, that measure of faith that continually tries to activate the grace of your calling, after a while, you staunch it enough, pretty soon it'll begin to die, and you don't care what the preacher does. Where do you think organizations come from that after the third generation deny almost everything that is in the Word of God? We'd better look at this a little closer. I want you to notice something. Go on down in this 12th chapter. To the 27th verse once again. He said, "Now you are the body of Christ. And members in particular. That you and I are an individual member in a vast body called the body of Christ." And I want you to notice something in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1 through, he's saying the same thing. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation whereof we are called." And the vocation he's talking about here is not your vocation in the world. He's not talking about the world here. He said, "What's your vocation?" Well, I'm a computer programmer by trade. What's your vocation? I'm a teacher by trade. What's your vocation? Well, I'm a doctor or a nurse. I go from city to city. Anywhere I go, I have a vocation. Well, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about your vocation, or what is the separation of your grace in the body of Christ. See, what has been assigned to you since before the foundations of the world? What has He given you that your measure of faith is designed to fulfill in your life? What vocation are you called by Him to be worthy of? This is what He's talking about. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation whereof you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now notice this. The fourth verse is saying the same thing as the 27th verse. There is one body, one Spirit. even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one. Now he goes in detail in another direction. Just a little bit more in this chapter. He doesn't give more revelation. He just takes a slightly different direction. Now notice very, very closely. But unto every one of us. How many? How many? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now don't go over there, but he's saying exactly the same thing here as he is in Romans 12 and 3 when he said, I beseech you by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God, your vocation. What are you called to fill in the body of Christ? And I'm telling you how important this is. You cannot come to maturity without it. Then in the third verse of Romans 12, he says, I, Paul, he says, I say unto you through the grace that was given me, my vocation. He said, I'm an apostle. I speak according to the grace given to me, my vocation, my call in the body, that you ought not think of yourself more highly, but think soberly according to God has dealt to every man. And he says it again. The measure of faith. In this verse, he called it the measure of the gift of Christ. But it is the same thing. He's talking about the faith that is given to you by the Holy Spirit that will only work in 100-fold its best. It'll perform its best when it's empowering your vocation. You can't sit here year after year and walk out and be complete. You have got to get involved. He's saying exactly the same thing to every one of us. He's given grace. Every one of us, according to the measure of the gift. He called it a gift of Christ. Oh, I ought not think more highly of myself. Why should I? I didn't merit. I didn't deserve. I didn't earn my office. Neither did you. It was a gift. I get to fulfill it. I get to execute the faith. I get to learn the word. I get to pray. I get to do what I get to do, infuse my grace with His power. I didn't earn it. Nor did I ask for my call. Nor did you. But I have the privilege of finding it. But He said to everyone, everyone is given grace. Everyone, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone. You, and you, and you. And you, everyone. Not one single person was left out. And on the day of judgment, what you're really going to be rewarded for or not for is how much of the faith that was in your measure that you fulfilled. I don't care if you sat in the finest church in the world, in Tulsa, and tithed every week. You are going to be rewarded by how much of the measure of faith that you executed in your office of grace. Every one of you. So he said to everyone, you, you, and you, and you. Well, in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, he listed 8 operations. You fit in here. One of these is your call. He said, apostle and prophet, teacher, workers of miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. One of them, you have been called to take your measure of faith and execute that office in the body of Christ. If You do not. Discontentment. Lack. Your hunger will never be quenched. Wisdom in ministry matches ministry with needs.
Should we go further?
He says, but unto every one, how many? Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, or because of this, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Sometime we're going to have to get into that. But right now we're interested in what was already delivered here. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? First into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now notice, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, of course, I've been introduced to God only knows how many camp meetings, as he is a gift to the body of Christ. And they quote these verses, and rightly so, because I am. But folks, so are you. So are you. This is why he said, he gave to every man. He just didn't say the apostle and the prophet and the teacher and the preacher and the evangelist. Yes, I am a gift to the body. Yes, but so are you. Very closely. This is the way we taught this. He gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the for the perfecting, another word for perfecting is maturing. What did he give the apostle, prophet? What did he give the fivefold for? The perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Now this is the way we taught it, that he gave me as the fivefold to mature you so that you could do the work of the ministry and this would cause the body of Christ to be edified. But it's not what it's really saying. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men, all right. He gave me my office, whatever it is. But he also gave you your office, whatever that is. And he gives a clear-cut standing of these offices in 1 Corinthians 12. But he's saying the exact same thing in the 12th verse of Ephesians 4. Now, the 27th verse on says exactly the same thing as this 12th verse does. Now, very, very closely, he said he gave first apostles, prophets, and teachers, workings and miracles, gifts of healings. What did he give the fivefold for? The maturing of the saints. Why? Because we're called and gifted by God to handle the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And when you increase in knowledge and wisdom of Jesus Christ, maturity takes place. So yes, the fivefold was gifted by God for the maturing of the saints because we handle the Word of God. But the correct way to say this in the 4th or 12th verse would be this. He gave the fivefold for the perfecting of the saints, And then he ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. But the next set of gifts that he gave was for the work of the ministry. And the next two in the lineup of 1 Corinthians 12 is helps and governments. So he says, first, God said, apostles, prophets, teachers, workings of miracles, gifts of healings. What's them for? The maturing of the saints. The next two is helps and governments. And therefore, the work of the ministry. So he ascended on high, gave gifts to men. They use them to teach with and mature. Then he ascended on high. He gave gifts to men. And therefore, the government and the work of the ministry for the next two are helps and governments. What's the one that's left now? There's eight operations. The operation of the apostle and the operation of the prophet and the teacher. Working some miracles, gifts of healings, which envelops pastor and evangelist. That's five. The sixth and seventh operation are helps in governments. And what's the eighth? You tell me. What is the eighth? Say it louder. The eighth operation is diversities of tongues. So what's the third group? He ascended on high. He gave gifts to teach and mature men with. He ascended on high and gave gifts to men for helps and governments. And then he ascended on high and he gave more gifts to men for the edification of the saints. What's the eighth operation? So he ascended on high and gave the diversities of tongues to all the saints for their edification. Three groups of his government. So he ascended on high, gave me gifts for teaching. He ascended on high and gave gifts. I mean, nobody can work government and helps like you do. Because that's a gift from God for the work of the ministry. And then that last group, from the edification of the saints, covers all the different spirit-empowered diversities of tongues. The eighth operation, he showered the gifts on the whole body for their edification. He gave me diverse tongues. Now this is where it gets interesting. So he gave these gifts for this purpose. Look at 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measures of the statures of the fullness of Christ. Very closely. I know I keep saying that. Till we come into the unity of the faith. Well, then there's one thing here we're going to have to reconcile. He gave these three different classifications of gifts to men. He gave them to us till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now, I have to admit, I got stuck here for a while. Yet he gave these three classifications of gifts. The gifts for maturing, for work of ministry, and for edification. And he give them till we come into the unity of the faith. Yet I see all these people leaving our great camp meetings, and they're in the unity of faith. You ask any of them, how do you believe on healing?
Oh, well,
I believe he bore my sicknesses and carried my pain some 2,000 years ago. And glory to God. No, I don't have to have them. How do you believe on prosperity? Prosperity? Glory to God. He, by an act of grace, took my poverty, and now, because he substituted himself in my poverty, I got his standing out of it, and I want you to know I am rich. Well, how about peace? He's the Prince of Peace. And the chastisement of my lack of peace was laid on him in a form of punishment. And now, because he was striped in punishment for my lack of peace and my violation, I am dominated with peace. Say, how do you believe? And they make all these wonderful confessions. Because we consider the unity of the faith. We all saying the same thing, and that we can doctrinally agree one with another. Well, thank God. So what am I going to do? Preach to you for 20 years and send all of you out the door doctrinally and agreeing with each other. What good did I do you? Well, I'd rather have you agree with me than to disagree. Is this a shouting message? Or is it a listening message? Well, then, Brother Roberson, what is the unity of the faith? Are you talking about rolling a verse over in my spirit and rolling it over and rolling it over and rolling it over? Praying in the Holy Ghost, listening for that mystery. And he started giving me little inklings of it. Just came from a long distance. You know, I could almost hear it. I could feel what it meant. But I couldn't say it. Have you ever been there? How many has ever felt a verse and felt a revelation? You ran to tell somebody and your words didn't work right. He gave these three disbursements of gifts for the unity of the faith. Now, whatever this unity of the faith is, we do know this much. In order for me to be a partaker of it, then I must be subject, number one, to fivefold and the maturing effect of the Word of God. And two, helps in governments must play its role, especially if I have a gift of helps in governments. And number three, the third gift that was dispersed was for the edification of the saints, which is diverse tongues, which evidently, without employing that part of God's government, I will also fall shy of the unity of the faith that he's talking about here. Well, thank God. So far, we're not falling too shy of any of these areas. Even when we didn't know the fullness of what tongues would do, we still kept by faith whipping you into the closet and making you pray for the edification of the saints. And that's you. Your edification. We'll keep building you up towards the unity of the faith.
Then what is it, Brother Roberson?
Well, he says the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, yes. And he says, this is the unity of the faith. That you will be matured, all right, by the fivefold in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of the fullness of the Son of God. That it says unto. You're going somewhere with that knowledge, unto. Where? Out the door every Sunday? To where? You know, I think it's almost an abomination that people get born again in church. I think you should get them born again when you run into them. And of course, we'll take them. Because when sinners bring sinners, we'll get them. And he says, unto. He says, the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto what? Unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Now, the measure he's talking about is the entire body of Christ. The fullness of the measure of the stature, that if the body of Christ was to stand up as the body, metaphorically, that my body represented it. And if it stood up in the fullness of its measure, you'd see Jesus Christ standing there with his body and his arms and his hands and his feet. There'd be a full body. That's the fullness of the stature of it. In the body of Christ, the body of believers, of course, represents the body because he's the head, which he says we grow up into him in all things. But he is the head and we are the body. And he says, the statue of the measures of the fullness of Christ. Well, the measures he's talking about is the whole operation of the body of Christ. So the knowledge we're heading for in Christ and the unity of the faith is this. I've been delivered a measure of faith. And the measure of faith that I've been delivered consists of one part of the whole. The whole is the body of Christ. The stature, the measures of the fullness of it. I've only been measured one measure, one part of it. Paul said, I speak to you according to the grace that was given, out of respect to my apostolic office. He says, you ought not think more highly, but think soberly according to the grace given to you. Oh, the measure of faith. I've only got a measure. And that measure that I have empowers the call that He has called me to fulfill in His body. Now, all of these measures working together makes what? One whole, which is a functioning body of Christ. So then what unity of the faith is He talking about? It's not us all walking out of the building saying the same thing. Although that's the first step, the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto the fullness of the measure. What He's saying is this. These three categories of gifts kick in to bring us into a unity of faith. Which one? The maturing of the saints. The helps and governments and edification from praying in tongues. They all kick in to unify us. Till our measure of faith is filling our office, which links us together one with another to make a functioning body called His body. It isn't all saying the same thing. It's filling a measure that links you with the next measure and the next and unifies you until you make an entire body, which is the body of Christ. And you cannot link up and unify until the measure you've been delivered is working. So He's given us three categories of gifts. Apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist, for maturity. And the next He ascended on high and gave categories of gifts was helps and governments. And the next He ascended on high and gave categories of gifts was for the edification of the saints. And when that measure of faith works in me for edification, for helps and governments, for apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist, then it activates my measure, which links me up to the hand, the arm, the shoulder, which links me up into the head and unifies the faith where my measure is working in the statues of the fullness of Jesus Christ. If you cannot fulfill it, discontentment will result. You weren't called to sit here and go home and say, what a good message. So what does a ministry do? You know as well as I do that my measure extends past the prayer center. You know that. But along with the equipping comes the wisdom to match needs with ministries. I keep hearing this running through my spirit time after time. Without the measure of faith fulfilling, your grace separation, you cannot be content. Glory.
Well, I'm just a helps governments. I'm a psalmist.
Then you'll just lullaby your little old heart out.
Well, I'm just called to make multi-millions and put them into the kingdom.
Then we will use your money until 18 banks are put in Tulsa just to keep up with your bank account.
Well, I'm called to evangelize.
Then by the time you leave here, you will have the equipment of evangelists. You won't be some penny ante mealy mouth trying to line up a bunch of meetings because you don't have any power in your life.
Well, I'm called the pastor.
then you will go instigate a government where each person in it will have the opportunity to plug in with their measure towards the statue of the fullness of Christ, the unifying the faith. Glory to God. So the unity he was talking about was the uniting of your measure into that body, not just because you run out and say things and agree with everything I preached. It's when your gift is activated as a force in the body of Christ that is unity of faith.